Our scripture today is from the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1. Read it all. All of Genesis chapter 1. Before we do that, though, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time and for this scripture and word to read together, that you are with us, guiding our hearts and our minds as we reflect on the words spoken, on your word, on your lamp that you've given for our feet as we walk the path we walk. We ask you also for guidance in the expounding upon the word, that it too is pleasing and honoring to you, and that in all things your name is praised. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Genesis chapter 1. Hear now God's word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good. And he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. It was so. And God called the vault sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear," and it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kind." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in accordance to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years, and let them be lights in the vaults of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night and separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems, that moves about in it according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water and the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in numbers. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it, they will be yours for food. And to all that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is also one of my favorite pictures. It's by M.C. Escher also. This is a portrait of him and his wife that he had drawn. The odd couple sermon today. Genesis chapter 1 is amongst my very favorite scriptures in the entire Bible. The first three chapters of Genesis tell me so much about God and creation and humanity, and it's just, it's so rich for me. In light of what we're going to talk about today, last week we started our conversation about how there are different pathways to just discipleship. There's only one way to God, and that way is through Christ. But as we draw closer to God through Jesus Christ, there's different ways of doing that, different ways of becoming a disciple and of showing how we are disciples. And we talked about a book we're going through that looks at the different pathways of discipleship using the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Today, specifically, we're going to talk about Mark and Matthew. Now, looking at Genesis chapter 1 as we read it, one of the things that stands out to me is this really neat word called homogeneity. You ever heard that word before? Maybe because I'm not pronouncing right. Have you ever heard the word advertisement? Who pronounces it advertisement? So advertisement. Homogeneity is one of those words. I hear people pronounce it different ways. How about homogeny? Heard the word homogeny? All right, same word. Homogeny means when things are coming together in the same things coming together. Our culture there's a lot of homogeny in culture. That the same people or people of great similarities come together as one group. We see this phenomena happen so many times in our own lives and in the lives of others. There's a certain sense of comfort in homogeny, being around other people who are just like us. We shop in places that make us feel comfortable in this way. We go to school in places that make us feel comfortable. You know, college, when you pick the same colleges, that sort of thing. Sometimes you pick colleges because people are like you who go there. When I go to a party with a large group of people and I don't know anyone, I tend to drift towards people who are like me. And then when we start talking, we find out that we're all pastors, you know, and all this sort of thing. It's just a natural inclination of humanity for homogeny. When we look at Genesis chapter 1, we see that God didn't create for homogeny, that God created for diversity. God created for differences, for variety. That there is homogeny, and that homogeny is that we're all created by God, for God, in order to worship and praise God. But when you look at creation itself, it's all different. It's eclectic. It's beautiful. A giraffe and an elephant, they all look different. When God created, we see God created not just the sun to light the earth, but also the moon to do the same and how different they are. We see that God didn't just create things to fly in the air, but also to swim under the sea. The birds of the air and the fish of the sea. We see that God created those also to walk across the earth, not just on four legs, but also on two. The amount of variety in this world is gorgeous, beautiful. And so when we look at discipleship within the church and the people who call themselves disciples, we also see diversity. And differences. We're going to look at two of those today. One is Mark and the other one is Matthew. Looking at the Gospel of Mark, we see a gospel that is written for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit itself isn't mentioned very much in Mark, but what is mentioned is that Jesus is guided by the Holy Spirit wherever Jesus goes. Wherever Jesus is, he goes there because the Holy Spirit calls him to go there. We see Jesus, who doesn't always make sense to us, who operates by the will of the Holy Spirit. We see Jesus cursing the fig tree because the fig tree didn't bear fruit when Jesus wanted him to. Why didn't the fig tree bear fruit? Because it was out of season. There was no fruit on the fig tree, and yet Jesus cursed the fig tree anyway. It doesn't make any sense to us. But Jesus was teaching us a lesson to always be ready in season and out of season. This guidance by the Holy Spirit to do things that don't make sense, this is what marks a marking discipleship. Someone who is guided and led by the whims of the Holy Spirit. When we look at our chapter in Genesis chapter 1, there's a line in there. Let me get back to it here real quick. Let's see. Darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. In another translation, it says a wind of God was blowing over the waters. The Hebrew word for spirit is ruah, R-U-A-H, and ruah is also translated as wind. And so those who are marked by the marking pathway of discipleship look like they're blown to and fro from the wind, the Holy Spirit leading and guiding them. Do you know anyone who is guided by the Holy Spirit? They seem to go anywhere and everywhere that God might be calling them, even if it doesn't make any sense. You ever had an inclination in your life, a time when the Holy Spirit might have been calling you, and you're driving to Walmart, to the store, and all of a sudden a feeling catches you, and you think, you know, I shouldn't be going to Walmart. For some reason, God wants me to go to Target. So you turn the car around, you go to Target. You don't know why. It makes no sense to you. Do you know anyone who makes decisions like that quickly, spontaneously? Sometimes that's the mark of the Holy Spirit, the mark and pathway of this discipleship. If God calls me there, that's what I'm going to do. The thing about the marking, though, and the thing about the Holy Spirit, is that oftentimes the Holy Spirit doesn't let us finish what it is we feel like we're called to do, but calls us to something else. And so our author calls this spiritual ADD, this idea of attention deficit disorder. You know that Christian that was going to Walmart to go shopping, but God called them to go to Target? Well, on their way to Target, there was a vehicle broken down on the side of the road. And so God called them not to go to Target, but to help that person. Now, God does that sometimes. Calls us for one thing, and then while we're walking down that road, shows us that there's something else that we need to take care of on the way. Thing about a mark in discipleship, a disciple, is that they're going where the Holy Spirit calls them, and then when they put their work into one thing, and they're doing that one thing, God then calls to something else, and so they quit that work. And they go over here and do that work in instead. Oh, they'll get back to that other thing. But they'll get back to it when the Holy Spirit calls them to. This is mark and discipleship. They love worship, but they love to be creative in worship. You can't hold a mark and disciple in a box. You try to, they'll get out of it just because they don't like it. They'll go and do what the Holy Spirit calls them to. If the Holy Spirit calls them to worship, they'll worship how it is God's calling them to, whether it be painting a picture, dancing a spiritual dance, lifting their hands up in the air, waving them around, calling out, praise Jesus, even if the pastor trying to speak is giving them the stink eye the entire time. Because the marking is led and guided by the Holy Spirit. That's the marking. The Matthean way of discipleship is a bit different and a bit opposite. You see, when we look at the book of Matthew, Matthew's written Jewish Christians and Jewish leaders, and so it's written according to the law. And in the Matthean, in Matthew, Jesus speaks on the law all the time, teaches on the law, reinterprets the law. And so it's a very ordered and a very structured book. And the Matthean way of discipleship is also very ordered and very structured. A Matthew disciple loves the church. What they love about the church is that it's ordered. They love the institution of the church. They love that the church is organized in such a way that they can do ministry to all the world. And they can only do that ministry to the world because they're structured to do so. There's someone in charge and there's someone leading. Matthew, a Matthean disciple, loves committees. If a light bulb needs change, and you say to a Markin, hey, a light bulb needs change, a Markin will go, change the light bulb. Because the Holy Spirit is telling them that the light bulb needs change, so let's change it. You go to a Matthean, you tell them a light bulb needs change, they'll say, we'll get right on that. We'll hold a trustee meeting next week. And then we'll talk about it, and then we'll make sure we have the funds, we'll make sure we have the people, and then the light bulb gets changed. There's an order to things. A Matthean loves worship. Their favorite part about worship is the liturgy, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, those things that we do together, those things that are part of our tradition, the part of who we are. If it was good enough for the church 1,000 years ago, it's good enough for the church now. Matthean loves the history of the church, where we came from, and that we can trace that back to years ago. Now you start to see the issue here. The Markan disciple and the Matthean disciple, you get them together and they don't mesh quite so well. The Markan says, I got this ministry idea that God is calling me to do. God is calling me to go out and give a bath to every dog that is in Trafford. And the Matthean says, that sounds like a great idea. Bring that up at council next week and we'll talk about it. And the Markan says, no, I'm just going to go do it. And they go and do it. Because that's what God's calling them to do in that instant. Matthean, they don't doubt that God's calling them to do it, but they want to talk about it a bit. Make sure that this is for sure what God's calling to us to do. And try to figure out the steps to do it. There's nothing wrong with either way, but man, it rubs that other person really difficult. The Matthean and the, have you ever watched Perfect Strangers with Belky and Larry? You know, it's just a spoof on The Odd Couple is what it was back before them. That's the Matthean and the Markan. You know, they don't rub each other the wrong way on purpose. When the Matthean says that we're having council meeting later on this week, and they're excited to have it because they get to hear how the church works, and tells the Markan that we're having, or yeah, tells the Markan we're having council meeting in this excited way, and the Markan says, good for you. They're not saying good for you just to make the Matthean mad. They're doing it because their way of ministry is different. And they're sincerely living out that way to ministry as God called them to. It's good that God calls all different kinds of people to the church. That we don't look at the church and see homogeny, but we see differences. The reason is because do you think that someone who's like a Matthean, who loves the order, who loves the structure, who finds comfort in the rigidity and the day-to-day doing of the same thing, can go up to someone who is a bit whimsical and flighty and say to them, come to the church, you'll love it because we say the Apostles' Creed every Sunday. That person who loves doing something different every day isn't going to gravitate towards that. But you send a mark into them. Come and worship with us at church because we love creativity, and whatever the Holy Spirit calls us to do, that's what we're going to do. That's the kind of worship that a Markin would love, that someone whimsical would love to enjoy. But have a Markin go up to someone who loves structure and say that, and that person who loves structure is going to say, wow, that person's a bit crazy. But the church is full of all kinds. Find your kind. How many of you here, and on Zoom I can't see your hands, how many people feel that you lean towards the Markin way of life, guided by the Holy Spirit? Where the Holy Spirit sends, I will go. However the Holy Spirit calls me to worship, that's how I'll worship. The way my day looks, if my day looks different every day, all the better. How many of you are for that? We got a few here. Some of you will overlap, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's just a part of who we are, too. But how many of you also prefer the structure, to know what's going to happen day in and day out, to understand that there's a way to deal with things, and to know that that way has been within the church for thousands of years. It's tested, it's tried, and you can count on it. For you, how many of you bring that? How many of you does that bring comfort to? There's a few there too. Again, I can't see you on Zoom, but I'm sure there's some differences there too. This is good. We're not the same. We're not supposed to be the same. The church is a beautiful, beautiful body that's made up of all different parts. How you gravitate to, what you gravitate to, walk to God in that way. If you feel the Holy Spirit calling you to do different things, put your whole heart into it. Your passion, your soul, your energy. Seek after God in a different way every day. If structure is your way, find the way that works for you. Bible readings, prayers. Make a list of things that you need to get done to draw closer to God and do that. Because however it is that God, that we draw closer to God, the truth is the same. God wants us to draw closer to God. Do it in the way that is right for you, so that we can have a church that is drawing closer to God each and every day. Next week, we'll be talking about two more. Lucan and Johannine. I don't know much about them because I didn't read those chapters yet. But I'm excited to get to them. If anyone is interested in learning your specific pathway of discipleship and would like just a little more structure in that, in our shelf over there in the library is this book, and there's an assessment that you can take in the front of this book to help you kind of understand where you're coming from more and more. But I look forward to our time next week to talk about two more types of people, the Lucan and the Johannine. So I leave you now with this benediction. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen and amen. Go in peace, knowing that the love of God goes with you always.